to hear Bob's Slacktime Funhouse, his parody, satire, and comedy. Any reference to Bob, the Church of the Subgenius, religion, politics, or any other touchy subjects is intended only as humor and should cast no reflection on the high standards of WREK Atlanta, its staff, or that of Georgia Tech.
Let the joy jump and the good times roll. Let the pleasure pop. Now let's take a stroll.
Light up.
Let's all get mellow.
Light up.
Get smoke in your eyes.
Light up.
Get hip, I say, fella.
Light up.
Say, what is this jive?
Light up.
Let's all get ready.
Light up.
I know how you feel.
Light up.
Now don't be a Freddy. You'll find what I mean in any old field.
Pop.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7.
Blow.
8, 9, 10, and then 11.
Light up.
Now get your day going.
Blaze up.
I'm saying that's the thing.
Light up.
Don't let that man get you. Just pop on your cig and blow the smoke ring.
Not change my underwear, but I'm changing my ways. Oh, there hasn't been a whole lot of Bob in the Slacktime Funhouse lately, but now it's battle stations and full speed ahead slack. Ooh, whiff the size stench in the air. Whew, God, it's the reek of future death zooming down on us. This isn't the time to be lulled into warm complacency. The end times have checked in and they've left an early wake-up call. What does it take to convince you of the signs of the end times anyway? Oh, think you'll be able to hang on to your precious slack now? You don't have enough slack to go around now, and they're going to take even that little bit away. Good luck.
Name me one friend you've got left, he said. Bob, I said. This was the only lifer in the prison, the only American to have been convicted of treason during the Korean War. He was the chief clerk in the supply room where I would soon be given my civilian clothes. He was a science fiction writer of some note, publishing many stories a year under various pseudonyms, including Frank X. Barlow and Kilgore Trout.
Somebody said, oh, Mr. 666 is way off in the future. No, my dear friend, he's been around a while, and he's here tonight. He's here tonight on the face of this earth. And all the world is wondering after him. And that's why this subject is so important. The deceptions are all around us. Deceptions are saying it's off in the future, it's off in the future. Don't worry about it. Friends, we better start worrying about it. And friends, there are some things taking place around us that's going to come down very, very soon. Are you ready for it? Are you ready for it? I tell you, we're living in serious times.
Look at the signs. The four basic food groups have been replaced with a pyramid. Isn't that enough to tip you off? Look at the signs! The new Blue Star ointment commercial no longer mentions tether. I don't even know what tether is, and they took it away from me. Look at the signs! We think we're okay in our little shells, minding our own business, standing on the corner of walk and don't walk. But seekers, it's time to run! Quick! It's not too late. We gotta get some Bob into us. We gotta get some Bob into us. Bad. Oh, even if it hurts. Oh, it will. It will. Oh, it's time to read some beads until it bleeds. The only sensitivity I care about is nerve endings. Are you yeti enough to test yours? So welcome, friends, to Reverend Commandant Susie Derfluzzi's Boot Camp for Bob. Today is the first day of your last hurrah. Hey, you, pink boy, drop and give me 20, mister. The rest of you, you'll have to suffer through these Bob songs, and don't think you're getting off easy. The hell is just beginning.
She says things I would not dare to articulate, but I'll simply say this. If that is true, why so many of them get injured in the very act? Why are some of them killed in the act? And why do so many of them have to have colostomies?
Good times.
You! You're one of us!
Maybe you're one. Something to be outright laughed at.
I heard someone over here say who's been the most effective evangelist the last 20 years. His name is...
Fine.
And why... Listen, look at me. Listen, wait. While he entertains you, he indoctrinates you. While he entertains you, he gets through to you. While you laugh, you begin to lose automatically.
I met Bob when I came in the door to service today, and Bob was formally bound by the powers of darkness to a terrible degree.
Whatever.
He says he gets a funny feeling down inside when he sees the Boy Scouts and the YMCA.
Thank you very much.
And they were doing these crazy things.
Well, of course, that's just a start.
Thank goodness that, you know, nobody I knew was there, because I thought, Bobby, I'm never going to another one of these as long as I live. I mean, you know, and he was a little nervous, too, when they grabbed his hand and, you know, it was like, this is not what we're used to. But we learned a long time ago is that you become what the people you associate with. And so he started associating with people in this business, and I began to see the changes. You know, Bobby was a good person and a good guy, but I started seeing the change of staying away from the people that he was hanging around with and looking forward to the future. And so I started getting a glimpse of what this business had to offer.
So will all you goony birds answering this description please stand up? You misfits in this brave new age. You dismally disorganized, improperly apologetic ghosts of the past. Stand up. Stand up and be counted.
Thank you.
And now it's time to bring up the headliner of the evening, a very special gentleman. Please welcome to the stage, Bob.
Last night my baby wanted to talk to me about art, but I said no,
no,
let's just close our eyes and watch. Bob.
Hi, Bob.
I like to get mail, of course, but for some reason I get the strangest kind of mail, and these are all real letters I'm reading you. Everyone, I assure you, has come in the mail from someone I don't know. Give you an idea of what the people think of the show and what they like to say in their communications. Dear Bob, before I tuned in your program, I could never get my husband out of bed in the morning. Now he can't get out of the house fast enough. Why don't you give up? Why can't you act like normal people? Why don't you stop whistling? Why don't you stop acting like a moron? Or maybe you aren't acting.
Yes.
That's all I'm taking from you.
Get back here, you jerk!
Come on! This gun!
Find him! Find him!
Find him!
Oh, yeah, that old slack magic has me in its spell. Oh, it's hard sometimes, howling and bumping and grinding in the radio wilderness, trying to sow my little seeds of slack with hundreds of sweaty strangers in the dark. Oh, while the city sleeps around, I'm lighting up your dials with the power of Bob. When I tell people I have a show called Bob's Slack Time Funhouse, they often say, "Who's Bob?" Well, that certainly separates the wheat from the chaff now, doesn't it? Oh, I like to think that you all know Bob, at least those of you who matter. But don't fool yourself into thinking that that puts you any higher up in the food web because of it. Oh, yeah, here at the Funhouse, it seems like we've lost our grip on Bob. We gotta latch onto his pipe and pull him down off the ceiling and bump his stomach and get him into fighting trim because he's our only hope. Oh, I want you to get to know Bob personally. If you don't already, those of you who don't know Bob, my heart sings like the prairie squid in rutting season for you at the joy you're about to experience. Oh, and those of you who have forgotten Bob, fie! Fie upon thee! Wake up! It's time to cover your ass, kids. Don't be a pink boy. Pinks are like sponges that don't work. You subgenius types, yeah. You, on the other hand, soak in this. I want to give you a close encounter with Bob and his amazing life, his precocious youth, his early careers in sports and salesmanship, and his hot, hot linkage with Connie, his first and primary wife. And all through the wonders of our patented subliminal hypnognostic brain ventilating system. I want you to take the fronts off of your speaker seekers. There. Yeah, now put your head in the speaker cone. No, not that one, the big one. Yeah. Okay, reach over. Yeah, you can still barely reach now. Turn that dial up to 11. Or lethal, if you haven't. And I want you to feel the slack pouring over you like drug taffy, saturating you with pure bobbins. Meanwhile, I'll just notch up your pain meters a little bit.
Once upon a time, there was Bobby. Bobby was a boy who drank milk. He drank milk in the morning, he drank milk at noon, he drank milk before he went to bed. And where do you think all that milk came from? Well, that milk had a long journey. For once upon a time, there was Bobby, and once upon a time, there also was... Do you hear them?
Yes, there also were five cows.
like to wait, but came and mooed at the farmer's gate. Why? Because the farmer came when he heard them call and led each one into her stall. Now I must milk them one and all to get the milk for Bobby.
The five cows were Daisy and Squirrel and Queen and Lady and Buttercup. When they were in the barn, the farmer took his stool and big pail and sat down to milk. Squirt, squirt, the milk poured into the pail. And when the five cows had given all their milk, the farmer let the cows wander out of the barn and into the pasture again. There they ate the green grass and forgot all about the milk. But the milk had only just begun its journey. For once upon a time there was Bobby, and once upon a time there also was... Do you hear it?
Yes, there also was a wagon with a horse whose rubber shoes clip-clopped each time he started, each time he stopped. A milk wagon. And the milkman said, my work is done before most other work's begun. From house to house I hurry on to bring the milk to Bobby.
The milk wagon came down the street until it stopped at Bobby's house. The driver jumped out and put down the bottles Bobby's mother had ordered. Then he drove away and forgot all about the milk. But the milk still went on with its journey. For after the milkman went away, Johnny's mother ran downstairs and opened the door. There stood the milk bottles.
The milk from the cows who couldn't wait, but said moo moo at the farmer's gate. The milk in the truck that couldn't stand still, but went a-honking down the hill. The milk on the train that carried the freight, and clickety-clackety couldn't be late. The milk where the factory whistle blew, and said now there is work to do. The milk that went where the horse click-clop, each time he started, each time he stopped. The milk from a bottle that opened up, and mother poured into Bobby's cup.
Don't call me Bobby.
The milk slipped and slid down Bobby's throat, and so turned into Bobby. And so at last, the milk ended its long, long journey.
Your commentator was privileged to visit Space Platform 7 last week. And before Cadet Bobby and Cadet Betty went into pre-lunar medical quarantine, I interviewed them. These telememory tapes will introduce you to these two exceptional youngsters. Cadet Bobby...
Ooh. Don't call me Bobby.
Bob, are you and Betty worried at all about your lunar adventure?
Not really, Doctor. We've been thoroughly checked out on our space shuttle craft, and of course, adults have made thousands of such trips.
After all these years of training, I suppose it's really a great thrill.
It certainly is. Bob, of course, studied 18 months longer than I.
Bob, where have you trained?
Well, I had calculus and logarithms in elementary school in Washington, USA. Then I spent 1 year in the Space Flight Center at Houston, USA. Another year in Moscow on advanced power and propulsion systems. 6 months in England at the Academy of Celestial Navigation. And then back to Houston for advanced computer technology. I had just about the same program, except for the fuels and propulsion. The girls just don't seem to take to the engineering courses.
Well, you kids have spent 6 months here, 50,000 miles from Earth, on Space Station Number 7. And now you are ready for the final 200,000-mile voyage to the moon.
Goodbye, and thanks to all of you.
I think it was just a matter of time. After all, when we were growing up, Bob had a huge supply of Playboys underneath his bed. His dad had a subscription. Bob dearly loved those Playboys, as I recall.
B. O. B.
He said, you know the story about Bob? And I said, well, Coach, the only thing I can tell you, he looks like Mr. Clean. I mean, he's the largest thing I've ever seen since a Big Mac truck. He is about 225, 230 pounds, packs arms the size of my thighs. A huge, huge man.
This is my friend and colleague, Texan.
Out of there!
I didn't catch your name, mister.
Bob. Thank God you're about as big as a mountain.
90 feet high and 9 feet wide.
God almighty.
Like you might have played some football. Want to kill some elephant today, are we?
Why did Bob do that? Bob knew what he wanted. He made a plan, and he stayed enthusiastic over several years.
I mean, I've read his interviews and his letters. No, he's, you know, not retarded. I mean, I've talked to the man, and he's pretty quick. But from some of his, for some reason, you kind of get that impression sometimes. I don't know, maybe he just, like, you know, when he goes in to create, it's like somebody, you know, playing a musical instrument or driving a car. They kind of go into that zen state of retardedness where if they were neurotically trying to, you know, do something specifically, you can't drive a car if you're totally concentrating on it. You'll go nuts. It's like being that's the way you are when you're learning to drive. At the same time, he's kind of nuts. I mean, he's kind of a nutty guy, an eccentric. I mean, he's not Hugh Beaumont. He's definitely not Mr. Normal. Then neither am I.
Throw out some real good hotels in America. Ride those three-wheelers down the lobby of Hyatt and Maui.
I gotta tell you, some things change about... Well, let's just take Bobby for instance.
Don't call me Bobby.
Bobby. He's changed a lot. In a lot of ways, he's become very refined, but there are things about him that will never change.
Is that clear to you? The brain is not a container to be filled. It is something to be activated, to be excited. I'm trying to find a young man. Here's one. I'll bet he's less than 36. How old are you? 26, I got him. What's your first name?
Bob.
Bob. It appears to me that you don't need much motivation, but I'm going to use it anyway. I think probably this is true. Bob, isn't it true? And unless you have found your field in life, the thing that you want to do, isn't it true that you frequently think of what you are best suited for? And if you could only find out what he's best suited for, he would work 18 hours a day, I assure you. He would study, he would self-discipline himself. He'd stop fooling around. I'm not saying that you are, I'm just using that as an example. I'll tell you what you're best fitted for. How do you like that? Now, Bob, if you could ever believe this, you'd just jump out of your skin. I guess you're jumping now, aren't you? Bob, you are best fitted for anything you want to do. Anything. I don't care about your past education. I don't care a thing of your past. You're best fitted for anything. You know this theory that's been known since the beginning of time. That we are what we think.
I'm Bob, and this here is my place.
Excellent.
Christ.
You know who that is? That's right. It's your pal, Bobo the Clown. Yay! Hey, Bobo, want to play a game? Okay, look up. Look down. Now look at Mr. Frying Pan. Uh-oh, Bobo, fall down, go boom.
Every station.
Get a trace on that signal. Now.
The other officers quickly take up the slack.
That's how big it was. It could be seen for miles and miles around. Now, here's the king's command. I'm going to command all these musicians to start playing their musical instruments, and as soon as they start playing the music, you are to fall down and bow down in front of that great image, 90 feet high, and pray to it.
A bad joke.
I'm not giving in to a smile or a grin on a face I might never see again. I'm not gonna fly in some big bony sky on a lie that I know just can't win.
Yes, Bob, you rang?
Am I a lousy picker?
Whatever.
I analyze it and assess it thoroughly, and then I make my prediction on the air, and I pick the opposite.
Me too.
I stand on my record.
But one thing I shared with you this afternoon is that Bobby didn't listen to me, and I'm thankful now that he didn't. And hopefully, if you've got a negative spouse, you're not listening to them either, because he didn't listen to me, and he went about and built the business because he saw something in it. A friend of his or an acquaintance of his had shown him the plan, and I won't bust his bubble. That's his part of the story.
Well, Mr. Stang, it was an almost foolproof plan.
But let us look to the next paragraph of prophecy, which says, Dateline for Dominance, 1991. First paragraph, and I quote, World War III. Church of the Subgenius shifts into Operation Removal, end quote. Now, admittedly, dear friends, that leaves open some room for interpretation. And just what is Operation Removal designated to remove? And knowing Bob, he'd want to remove the very concept of removal.
I suppose Bob told you that his plan had been approved, and recruiting is about to open. You once offered to help us find the right sort of recruits.
How many men do you need?
I thought you'd say that. We'll need 1,100 men to begin with.
I'm in this thing any way you can use me.
Looking forward to it, Mr. Stang.
famous?
Yeah.
See, I saw this program that I'm talking about tonight some 7 years ago. 7 years ago when I saw this program, I folded my arms across my chest, I crossed my legs, and then I looked at that guy that was talking about this program, and I said, no way, whoever this joker is, whoever's up there, he's always grinning. I thought, why was he always grinning? It never dawned on me because he is so doggone rich. Being broke's not a good deal, but he looked at me and he says, Al, whatever you do, you're going to like Area 3. He says, as a matter of fact, judging from the first two areas, you'll probably want to be involved in Area 3. And I was committed and convinced that Area 3 looked good. And then he spelled it out to me. D-E-A-D, dead. Fantastic.
I'll talk like this. Bob's your uncle, mate.
That really doesn't help, Bob.
You get the slacking off, you get the backslid.
Well, that would have to have been last 4th of July. It was very hot out, oh so hot. It was just blazing. And I was at the youth group picnic. Minister Bob was there in his Bermuda pants. They cover more legs than his Bermuda shorts, you see. And they're just a little bit tighter in the back. They just hug his buns in the cutest way. But anyway, I was slicing some Rice Krispie squares I had made, and Minister Bob was filling cups of the punch bowl with his ladle. It was the biggest ladle I'd ever seen. I wanted to touch it, but I was afraid to because it was so abnormally large. And as I watched him with that ladle, he kept dipping it into the bowl and pouring punch. And dipping and pouring and dipping and pouring and dipping until all the cups were filled. And it didn't take long because that was some big ladle. And then suddenly, violently, there was a shudder. My buttocks were tingling. I was alone, lost in space. I saw him toss that ladle aside, his arm exhausted. I must have passed out because that's all I remember.
So you won't talk to me, huh?
Where'd you get the diamond bracelet, Miss Porter?
You may call me Connie. You did watch during the storm, remember? You said, all right, Connie, we might as well go down together. I liked the way you said Connie. It was like a punch in the jaw.
Tell me about the bracelet.
That's a dead giveaway. You're wanting us to die together like that. Dying together is even more personal than living together.
What'd you pay for the bracelet?
Nothing.
Barter?
You're a low person, darling. Obviously out of the gutter. Maybe that's why I'm attracted to you. And maybe that's why you're attracted to me.
Now, what's going to happen? Do you know that's breaking the second commandment? Because Babylon was the head of witchcraft, sorcery, fortune teller. Notice that. When the music starts playing, you're to bow down and worship the great image.
Like the beat, 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 beat of the tom-tom. When the jungle shadow falls, like the tick, tick, tack of my old grandfather's clock as it stands up straight against the wall, like the drip, drip, drop, drip, drop of the raindrops when the summer is through. So a voice within me keeps repeating you, just you, it's only you. Night and day, you are the one, only you beneath the moon and under the sun. Whether near to me or far, it's no matter.
I jumped in with both feet and started listening to tapes and reading books because I didn't. I had to read lots of books, lots and lots of books. And sometimes you're going to pick up a book in the beginning and you're going to read it and you're going to think, I can't finish this. This book is too heavy. And you're going to put it down, and a couple of years later, a couple of months later, you're going to pick up that book, and all of a sudden it's going to slap you in the face.
Hello, Connie.
Bob, I'm so glad.
You're glad. How do you think I feel? And you're just as good as new again. Stop kidding.
Well, I'm not kidding.
In high society, I just ain't the type. Folks all look so surprised when I light my pipe. Yes!
Oh, yeah. Do you, smoke a pipe, too?
Oh, don't be coy. I like it, too.
What's it gonna get you, Connie? All this business of filling my pipe, pouring my drinks, corned beef and cabbage?
I suppose I should pretend that I don't know what you mean by that, but I won't.
Connie, look, for the past 3 days, all you've done is...
All I've done is what?
Well, is to tell a man in a thousand little ways.
To tell what man in a thousand little ways?
Oh, well, not with words, maybe, but with looks, actions, and...
Aren't you ashamed?
All right, maybe as you say, I'm wrong.
A partner in sin. There was an influence there. Sometimes there is a mood that just... We don't know why.
You wouldn't kid a pal, would you, Connie? Or yourself, maybe.
I don't know yet, Bob.
Hello, children. Well, here we are, Doc. The two lovebirds. All ready for the wedding. Sit down. Are we healthy enough to get married?
Yeah, both as solid as a new dollar. That first baby didn't hurt you a bit. You can have a dozen more if you want to. And Bob, you'll be pleased to know that there's no trace of your old VD. 100% cured.
What did you say about a first baby? You've been married before?
Doctor, what did you call it? VD? You mean to say that Bob has actually had one of those horrible diseases? That isn't true, Doctor. Is that true, Bob?
All right, if you must know, I did have it. But it's no worse than having an illegitimate child.
I think it is. Why, I'd sooner marry a leper. Thank you for letting me know about this in time, Dr. West. And now I'm going out into the clean, fresh air.
Well, there went my happy wedding right out the door.
I'm terribly sorry, Bob.
Just grab by the scalp, shake her up and down a bit, and chop off the slack. Come on.
Down this streaking out pit, we'll finally blame it on God. And there'll be some kind of church started called the Streaker's Church. And boy, they'll follow, try to make it religious. But I want to tell you, it's abominable, and it's filthy, and it's rotten. And men ought to stand up against it. Say amen, you know so.
The pipes. We lead a jolly life, we're free from every care and strife, we drink the best,
no the best knows wrong,
each fine I'm glad that this gay life is mine.
In the name of fingers, waters, dirty birdie, Holland, no sterling beef or chemistry, eep.
In the name of mystic,
Myron, Tucker, Toll, and Battis, so ring in, oh Georgie, three.
Oh, smiling.
No, Nick Bob, Cope of Lard, Nick Nolte, oh, golden-throated John A.D.
That you understand that we have all had a partner in sin. You really didn't do it by yourself. There was an influence there.
Now we shop at Neiman Marcus instead of Kmart and Sears. We go in Neiman Marcus, and as soon as they spotted us, and I was there last year, they said, hi, Bob and Bonnie, how are you? They remembered us. And so in the back, they take you in the back and they have drinks for you. Whatever it is, scotch, whiskey, whatever you want. And I ask for the usual.
If you drink 5 gallons of Gatorade, you're going to expend 5 gallons of Gatorade somewhere in one of these restaurants.
You buy that, right?
Frankly, either way, it's disgusting. Let's get the hell out of here.
We went 15% and did some crazy things, and we went direct, and I can remember going direct, and I can remember standing up on stage and putting the microphone up to my mouth, and nothing came out.
And I went, oh, my God.
No, Connie, no!
Blew a 5-foot flame out of my butt.
It really isn't all that bad.
Hope you understand that there's nothing more liberating than being able to pee and poop your own diaper.
For the love of Bob. Yeah, yeah.
Don't ever ask me to do that again.
You just have to be careful. And you always think about you know, getting poop on the finger, you know. And I remember the first time it happened. I couldn't believe it. I mean, it's like, oh, my God. I've got poop on my finger. And then I started thinking to myself, it could be worse. I could have a job.
I just can't do it. And I said to Bobby, please don't ever make me do that again.
Don't call me Bobby.
No, Connie, no!
Cosmic doubts. I wanna be Bob. Bob. I want to be Bob. I'd even like it in New Jersey. Yahoo!
I wanted you to know what radio announcers are up against. Feel sorry for them. Send in a little something, whatever you can afford. And now, friends, we have a time check. And would you just fill in your own time, please?
Well, my freedom was so precious. I took my noxious alarm clock. I took my sledgehammer and I painted it red, white, and blue. Because in America, if you can afford it, you can do it. And I smashed it. And it was so fun. What an experience. It is really fun. I like that. You know what time we're going to wake up Monday? See, we don't either.
Give thanks to Bob, our eternal hope, and praise be to Irwin, New Jersey's Pope. We're fickle and free, and we don't make no fuss at the Church of the Subgenius. Bob, hear our plea, we beseech thee. Help us be free from normalcy. We're dumb, devoted, and don't talk back. Please give us an hour of slack.
J.R. Bob Dobbs never fails. He's the living slack master of mystic sails. All you conspiracy dupes, just you wait till July the 5th, 1998.
Invaders will come from Planet X, bringing gifts of money, time control, and great sex. And a new age will dawn, and we'll never look back. We'll be busy enjoying a slack.
Everybody now!
Bob, hear our plea, we beseech thee. Help us be free from normalcy. We're dumb, devoted, and don't talk back. Please give us an hour of slack. He's the bridge between heaven and earth and hell. He's the patron saint of sales.
Yeah, he's doing well.
Media cretins and normals and pinks, beware. The slack master sells everywhere.
Give thanks to Bob.
Give thanks to Bob, our eternal hope.
Praise me to
Owen. Praise me to Owen, New Jersey's Bob.
We're fickle
and free, and we don't make no fuss at the Church of the Subgenius.
Everybody now.
Give thanks to Bob, our eternal hope. And praise be to Owen, New Jersey's Pope. We're fickle and free, and we don't make no fuss at the Church of the Subgenius. Give thanks to Bob, our eternal hope. And praise be to Owen, New Jersey's Pope. We're fickle and free, and we don't make no fuss at the Church of the
Subgenius. Dear Bob, I must give you credit for playing some good music, but why spoil it with your stupid, asinine whistling? Why? Lock yourself in a broom closet while the music is on. I'm disgusted, and from now on, I'll do my own whistling in the morning. This is from Springfield.
Is there any lower form of life?
Let the record show that the witness made the drinky-drinky motion.
A bottle. Who has it?
Stupid mailman squeal on me.
I still enjoy your program, even though you've been back 2 or 3 weeks now. Isn't that nice? Here's one. It says, Dear Bob, please don't pick any more winners. I'm going broke. And you bull thrower, how are you going to crawl out of this? That's a nice one. I like the short one. At least you get them over with in a hurry. Dear Bob, I had heard so much about you, I was prepared to like you immediately. I tuned in your show, and you talked me out of it. Here's another one from Springfield. Could you please give me the exact address in Washington, D.C. of the Bureau of Indian Affairs? I've always wanted to have an affair with an Indian.
It's funny because it's true.
This from Springfield also. Dear Bob, this morning you advertised boys' suits for youngsters aged 3 to 7. You said they were trimmed with piping. Piping in a boy's suit? Wouldn't you think they'd be housebroken at that age? Hang in there, Robert. Yours truly. This letter from New Britain says, Dear Bob, I was standing in the kitchen in front of my radio this morning, pulling my two-way stretch over my hips when you said, Are you a little on the fat side? What I want to know is, can you see out here? If so, I must dress somewhere else.
What's the joke, Topsy? Aren't you going to let me in on it?
In on it? Sure I will. Sure.
Oh, isn't it great swimming in a sea of slack? Let's just immerse ourselves in the Luck Plane's surfy, surfy waves and waft along. Dr. Philo Drummond once said, if slack was water, Bob would be surfing and you'd be drowning. Hey, I'm willing to settle for death by drowning in slack any day, Doctor. Ah, this is the soundtrack to Mr. Lucky, which is one of Bob's 9 billion middle names. And you know, he's taught me that it's better to be lucky than good any day, and what an example he sets. I rejoice in the failings of Bob. I exult in the slip-ups of Bob. Hey, Bob, show us how you make a mistake and make $1 million. Yes, make me a failure too, Bob. Show me the witching ways of surfing the Luck Plane. Look, Bob, I can hang too. Oh, and when Bob forgets to screw up, oh, when he screws up by not screwing up, it's like breaking the bank at Monte Carlo. It's such blinding, radiant luck that you can't believe it. You appreciate the good things in life if you don't waste your time counting on them to happen. But if you expect the bad things, every day can be like Christmas. Just forget yourself and go with a path of least resistance. Sharpen your abnormality focus. You might do only one weird thing exceptionally well. Well, take that weird thing and turn it around and milk it dry. Milk it for Bobby. Tap it. Strip mine it. They're strip mining your slack away, leaving toxic poisons to leach into your psychic water table. Fight the conspiracy. Give up for Bob.
On and off the road to Bob, we are marching forward blind. He has gouged out both our eyes, and he's laughing close behind. He will sound. Back our eyes when we join him.
Bob. They found my fingerprints on my ashtray and not yours.
It had Bob's fingerprints all over it. And he and I both would agree that Bob's not a nice person.
And that was enough for them.
It's funny because it's true.
But you know, you can write for free information from the source itself. The memberships have finally notched up to $30. Not that you haven't been well warmed for the past couple of years, but hey, what price off planet survival anyway? But if you're craving enough to be sniffing around for some free information, grab your pencils. Just write to Bob.
He's waiting to hear from you at the Subgenius Foundation at P.O. Box 181417, Cleveland Heights, Ohio 44118, or he's as close as your keyboard at subgenius.com.
And hey, admit the truth to yourself now. You know you'll be clawing your way to the head of the line to buy a membership when the atomic heat rays are so close they're welding your butt cheeks together. Oh, but don't come crying to me. I can't wait for X-Day. I love the taste of human flesh. I just haven't had it cooked yet. We get down and dirty in this church because religion happens to be a dirty, dirty business. This church is a lot like an old car sometimes, in that it's the dirt that's the only thing that's holding it all together. And Bob is the Bondo that keeps our sagging bumpers up. Isn't that the one thing that we're here for after all, Seekers? The dirt. Oh, so let's dig in and dish it up. It's cram-packed with minerals, too. So don't settle for the poop du jour. Meditate your troubles away with the armor-piercing slack of J.R. Bob Dobbs.
Almighty, I'm full of it, but I'm going to let it go. And you've got to let it go, dear friends. Just as sure as you can bet it, one of those two greatest guys up there is going to let go just as you is letting go.
Bob, what's Miss Presky's heat so far?
Right, Jack.
Yes.
Well, how do you feel, Miss Presky?
Sick.
Ah, well, you can afford it now, love. But like the good book says, there are bigger deals to come.
Oh, Christ.
I hope things work out the way you want them to.
Thanks, Bob. I'm hoping too.
Oh, Tommy, no!
It's on fire!
Great. Now what?